Blog Talk Radio.
Frontline Protector, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International. The Private Officer Beat Radio Show is about to begin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat Radio. I'm your host, Rick McCann, founder and CEO of Private Officer International, a law enforcement and private security organization since almost 20 years now, and we are moving right along. We're glad to have you here with us on the program. We have a lot of important things to talk about. Now, usually in the radio program, we talk about current events and some other things happening, and at the bottom of the show, or somewhere toward the bottom of the show, we'll talk about the news, and then normally we have a topic. But today we're going to do it a little bit different because we do want to talk about a few things that are in the news up at the front of the show, as well as some other things that are happening. I hope that you all had a very enjoyable Labor Day. Maybe you had the day off, took a little vacation over the weekend, spent some time with the family, enjoyed yourself. R&R is a very important aspect, especially in the work that we do. The work that we do, many people don't realize, is very, very stressful, strenuous sometimes. You got to keep the mind active. You have to be on your, situational awareness, P's and Q's all the time. I've been told by security officers over the years that sometimes they're on high alert day and night. It's just part of being in this field, much like somebody in the military who's in a war zone. You really don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next, one day to the next. And unfortunately, many people in this business, they don't get it and they don't see it that way. Others do. And unfortunately, with what's happening in the world today and here at home at the USA, we're seeing violence. People, again, taking action. We'll talk about that in today's program. Vigilante or citizen rights is the topic of today's program. But people are fed up, and we're seeing this more and more across the country. This is very much the way that it is in many other countries. Australia, in particular, comes to mind. We think of Australia, the desert, the kangaroos, the koala bears, all of the down under things that we're familiar with. But the truth is that in most countries, and I was going to say civilized countries, but some of this isn't very civilized, but in most countries, people are seeing a very large increase of violence and of people who, maybe 10 years ago would have thought twice about committing a crime or a robbery or a violent crime, a murder, but not today. People are not thinking, they're just doing. And so we're seeing, not only in many other countries, but we're seeing that attitude here. Now, some say it's because of COVID. Well, maybe they were locked up at home for an extended period of time and they had a chance to, mull things over their head. I know that there's a lot of resistance out there to law enforcement because of the protests that occurred within the last, 5 years or so and even before that. Whatever it might be, we as a people, we need to understand that we do have certain rights. But we also have to obey the law and comply. And that's a key word that many people have taken out of the vocabulary. And because of that, we're seeing more and more law enforcement and private security having to take physical actions to stop someone or to take someone into custody. So whether it's something that's happened over the last few years or something that really is within people, certain people, and it just has come to a head. I listened to a show the other day, and the moderators there, the guests on the show, I think they summed it up pretty well. Because of the lack of policing, because of the lack of law enforcement, many in this country have decided that that's a sign that they don't have to obey the law. That's a sign, just like, you know, the military becoming weak. It's a sign that they can be taken advantage of. It's a sign that people can come in and fight a war against us and win. And this is what's happening with law enforcement. People are seeing this as their opportunity to be part of the wild, wild west once more and to do whatever they want, to injure, to kill, to rob, to steal, whatever it might be, because the chances of them getting caught or law enforcement being able to truly do their job is very slim these days. An interview with a police officer on local media about a month ago, he also summed it up quite well. He said, "Our hands have been tied for quite some time. We don't carry the handcuffs. We are handcuffed. We're limited as to what we can do and when we can do it. Our enforcement level has gone down by at least 50%. Many of the traffic enforcement that we used to do, no longer can we do. Many of the crimes have to be overlooked. Misdemeanors as well, overlooked. We're understaffed, and therefore command wants us only to concentrate on the most serious and the most violent of crimes. Therefore, many, many crimes go unenforced. And because of that, what happens is people believe, well, if they don't care, I'm just going to keep on doing it. Well, I'm doing. And they increase that level of crime. Look at the shoplifting that we're seeing across the nation. People are going in, not one or two people. Back in my day when I worked in loss prevention, both as a floor walker, actually walking the floor long before they had cameras, we had catwalks, we had one-way mirrors, and of course we walked the floor pretending to be customers. Back in the day, occasionally, maybe a couple of times a year, professional shoplifters would come in, they would bring garbage bags, they would take merchandise and bring it to the back of the store and plant it for someone else to come in and grab later. But today, they don't do that. They blatantly walk in droves of people, 10, 20, 50 people at a time. In a couple of cases, we've seen recently where there were close to 100 people in multiple vehicles. They are not afraid of law enforcement. They are not afraid of security. They are not afraid of being caught. They are not afraid of the system that is in place to provide justice for all. They don't fear the law. They don't fear the consequences. And when I come back from this first break, we'll talk just for a second about juveniles and why violent juvenile crimes are skyrocketing across the country. Washington, D.C. reported 176 carjackings. 176 carjackings so far this year. Who do you think are the culprits? You're listening to the voice of the frontline protector here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
Life is precious. Ask any of these people. They've been given a second chance at life through organ and tissue donation. But there are more than 84,000 Americans waiting for life-saving transplants. 17 people die every day waiting. I didn't know this until I lost my best friend, Lyric. She gave the gift of life to 5 people. That's why I've become an organ donor, too. One decision saves so many lives. Donate life.
Are you looking for the finest private security officer training in the Charlotte metropolitan area? Do you need PPS qualifications in armed or unarmed training? Or maybe you're over there across the line in South Carolina and you need the SLED training. Well, we've got the right training at the right time for you. Premier Training Academy, located at 5624 Executive Center Drive, Suite 142 in metropolitan Charlotte, North Carolina. Give them a call today, 704-806-4933. They also offer firearms training, personal protection, first aid and CPR, and so much more. Call John at 704-806-4933. We are back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio on this Tuesday morning, the 5th of September, 2023. We normally broadcast most of our programs live and on Monday. Of course, yesterday was Labor Day, so we too took the day off of sorts. I had a lot of other work to do in the office, but it was a day off, kind of, sort of, for me. But today's Tuesday, and we were talking before the break about who's committing most of the carjackings in the Capitol, in the U.S. Capitol, Washington, D.C. D.C. police say it's juveniles. Kids as young as 12 are carjacking people left and right at gunpoint. This is the society we're living in today because of many different conditions. A lack of parenting, a lack of a stable home life, an increase in gang violence and recruitment. They are recruiting not the 15-year-old, not the 20-year-old. They are recruiting as young as 10 years old. And these 10-year-olds are not just petty thieves. They are very violent criminals. They don't know better. They think it's all a game, like a video game, and unfortunately, it's leading to some of them being killed by police, and it's leading them to kill many of their victims. Across the country, we're seeing a sudden turn, and it's not really that sudden, but we're seeing many of our neighbors begin to turn the table on these criminals. Vigilante or citizen rights is what we're talking about today. I'll lead into this a little bit more later in the program, but if you want to chime in, you can contact us, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Remember, you can also follow us on social media at facebook.com/Private Officer International, twitter.com/Private Officer. Follow us on Tumblr. We're also on several other platforms. And of course, you can read our news day or night at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Now, before I go any further, I do want to mention about Private Officer International's Officer Memorial. I'm pretty frustrated these days in the lack of concern, the lack of commitment, the lack of unity among private security across the country. But every year, we try to bring people together with the annual Private Officer Memorial. And this year, we have these very nice wristbands on the front that says, Remembering All Fallen Officers, and on the back, Private Officer. They're available for just a donation of $20. They are very nice bands.
These are professional, and they're embossed, they're high quality, they're not going to fade. And for just $20 donation, you can go to privateofficer.org, click on the benevolent page, and there you'll be able to donate. $20, you're going to receive not only one of those wristbands, but also a POI patch. This is really our 20th annual Private Officer Memorial Week, but we have listed it as the 19th because the first one we did among ourselves. Since then, we have gone out across the country to honor and remember all private security and private law enforcement officers that have been killed in the line of duty each and every year. We do this on the third week of September. We ask that you drape your badge in black during this week to recognize those fallen officers. And we also ask that you help us to get the word out. And you can even sponsor a local memorial service. It's about a 30 to 45 minute memorial service. We've had governor reps, we've had governors, we've had senators, we've had many local politicians, many police chiefs and police officers, firefighters and emergency personnel who actively came and engaged in the memorial like it was for any other first responder. And that's the message that we're trying to get out. A memorial service can be held any place. We've had them at churches, we've had them at police stations, we've had them at City Hall, we've had them in schools, we've had them in offices. Please contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com for more information if you are interested in sponsoring one. Right now, we know that we are going to, this month, be in Virginia, Alabama, and possibly in Texas. We have also been invited next month to Utah, so that may also be an area. The other thing that I'd like to mention is that we try to make this an event where not only do we hold the memorial, but sometimes we also hold training. We can do a half day, we can do a full day. Contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. More than 100 security officers murdered last year. Hundreds and thousands assaulted. Many go unreported. They don't make the media. They don't even get reported by the victim, as it were. It's very discouraging when people won't and don't get involved in what's happening. Look, you don't, you know, some people say, well, I don't report it because it's part of the job. It's not part of the job to be assaulted. It's not part of the job to be injured. It's not part of the job to be killed making barely minimum wage. I don't care if you made $1,000 an hour. It's still not part of the job. As a firefighter for many years, one of the things that firefighters used to say, and some still do, honestly, is all of that gunk, all of that soot, all of that black stuff that you see on the firefighter gear, they say that's a badge of honor. When the helmet is burnt to a crisp, where it's all bent and whacked out of shape, they say that's a badge of honor. It shows that we're out there, we're on the front line, we're actually doing the job. We're going to get hurt. We're going to get dirty. Yeah, it's all part of the job. It's not really all part of the job. I don't think that coming into this, we knew that we were going to be injured, but I don't think that, you know, we need to go out of our way to be injured or killed in the line of duty. Please contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com to arrange for memorial service in your area or to get more information. Go to our website at privateofficer.org. Click on the banner to the far right that says benevolent or officer down. And please donate what you can. Someone donated just $4 the other day. And at first I thought, well, maybe he needs this more than we do. But then I I realized what, you know, what this really meant. He had $4. He wanted to be part of the giving back. He wanted to help us to do whatever we need to do to help others. And so we appreciate that. And yeah, I don't know who you were. I haven't checked to see who donated it, but thank you. And if you want to donate $5 or $10, you're more than, you know, we're more than happy to take it. We have some who donate monthly, and we really need more supporters like that as well. Please go to our website, privateofficer.org, and click up at the officer down, and you can donate today. We have a lot of things happening here across the country. We have a lot of things that happen to private security. I don't know how many thousands of times, I'm sure I've said this over the years, we are almost always going to be the first responder at many type of situations. We're working at malls and businesses and schools. We're out on street patrol. We are, you know, every place, especially now with the understaffing of police agencies. Some police agencies are actually closing up in the last just 2 or 3 months. At least 3 police departments across, we'll make that 4 that I know of, that have closed down across the country. When I come back, I want to talk about what really is going on. Some of the news that's making headlines that's not good. You're listening to the Private Officer B Radio.
There was the explosion, and I remember just opening my eyes, and it got both of my legs. I had surgery after surgery, and what's going to happen next? The Wounded Warrior Project said, look, brother, everything's going to be okay. 3 months from now, 4 months from now, a year from now, you'll be fine. I don't know if I would be as well adjusted as I am now if it wasn't for them.
To learn more, call 1-877-832-6997 or visit woundedwarriorproject.org.
So you think you can beat a train? Well, think again. Even at low speeds, trains can cause serious injuries or death. You must slow down and yield when you approach all railroad crossings. If the train is approaching, always stop behind the solid white line or at least 15 feet from the crossing. Never stop on the tracks. It's the law, and it can save your life. Proceed only when the train has cleared the area and no other trains are approaching. Please be safe at all railroad crossings. And remember, never stop on the tracks.
A Dallas security officer working as an armored truck security officer was murdered during a robbery. He was one of 3 known to have been murdered within 48 hours. And across the country, there are others that have been murdered or shot. And we may or may not even know about it because it often does not make the media. The other thing that has happened over the last week is that 2 security officers have been convicted of murder. One in Baltimore, Maryland, a female security officer working at a convenience store, charged with murder because she pulled her firearm and shot and killed a man who she had been having an argument with at the store about being on the premise, and eventually she just got PO'd, ticked off, and said, "That's it. You don't leave. I'm going to shoot you." And she did. And unfortunately, was caught on store surveillance. This woman is facing 60 years on that conviction for second-degree murder. 60 years. And this person was interviewed by police, and they showed the video of that interview. And she basically just said she lost her cool. It wasn't more than maybe a month ago that another security officer shot and killed a man in California, and when police interviewed him, he just said, you know, the man called me a racist name and made me aggravated and you know, whatever, I just killed him. Another security officer was found guilty of manslaughter, though the original charge was murder in this past week. And it seems like almost at least once a week we're seeing a fatal shooting. 89 people have been fatally killed by security officers in 2023. Every year we see approximately 100 people killed by security. I'm not alarmed by the number. I am alarmed at the number of illegal shootings by security. And that's because of a lack of training, a lack of maybe common sense, and being put in situations that they really do not know how to handle. They don't have that experience. They don't have that training, as we talk about and preach about for years. Unfortunately, today, more security officers are armed. More security officers are being put in positions where they have frequent interactions with the public. It's not like sitting on a guard post somewhere at a closed factory at, you know, in the midnight to 8 shift or 11 to 7 or just waving vehicles through or signing in trucks at the gate. This is a different environment. This is a different type of service that security is involved in. In many situations, they're involved in enforcing property rules and even laws. And unfortunately, we're finding more and more and more people, security officers, just don't know how to handle situations. If they get any pushback, if they get any verbal abuse, if they get any physical abuse, they turn to their gun. They don't know how to de-escalate, and that's very, very tragic. We're going to see a lot more of this, and we are seeing, unfortunately, a lot of security officers being arrested. We're working on a study right now of those arrested in the last 5 years for excessive force, and we'll probably have that for you in the next few weeks. But it is a drastic increase in the violence. A couple of other highlights that I want to get through before I get to the main subject, vigilante or citizen rights. 50 special police officers in Washington, D.C. are working unlicensed. In Washington, D.C., private police officers, which are an elevated form of private security, but they are sworn in as special police on the property they're protecting. A new study by a local TV station showed that at least 50 special police officers have been working without renewing or getting their proper license. And this is really something that's very dangerous for the employer, very dangerous for the community if they're not licensed and they haven't undergone that special training. They're investigating. They have already notified some of these special police officers, and we're going to keep track of it ourselves. A study in New York City, over 36 security officers have been assaulted and injured just in the last 3 months while guarding migrant housing. These are hotels, generally, that are being used to house the migrants that are coming in illegally. And again, it's a situation where they're not trained properly to respond. They don't know what to do, and they're being assaulted. These are more than likely unarmed posts. Over in Albany, New York, a similar situation. Now, The bottom line here is, in this case, in Albany, New York, the New York State Department of DCJS, Department of Criminal Justice Service, says more than 50 security officers working at migrant hotels, they weren't assaulted, they weren't licensed. According to this study, a security company under contract with the state put more than 50 of their employees on the job site without proper licensing. And you wonder why people don't take private security seriously. Across the country, we're seeing more and more and more security companies, instead of enforcing the rules and the laws, instead of being an example of good business, they're actually becoming problems themselves. We recently had a case where a security company, heavily armed security staff with AR-15s, raided a low-income apartment complex to evict some people. Luckily, no one was shot or killed. Pennsylvania State Police recently dropped college credit requirements. All you need now is a GED. You got to be at least 20 years of age to be a trooper. It used to be 21. And some police departments have eliminated their maximum age requirements. So you can go in and you can, you know, if you can pass the physical and the academy, if you're 60, you can be a police officer. No limits. I remember a number of years ago, I wanted to apply for the U.S. Park Police and their federal officers. I thought this would be, fun and also good benefits. And it's been a number of years ago, but they had a limit. No one over the age of 35. So, needless to say, I didn't apply for that. We're going to take another quick break. We've got plenty more to talk about here on the Private Officer Beat Radio today. Remember, we need your support. If you're not a member of Private Officer, please go to our website at privateofficer.org. If you need any assistance, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Spread the words. Tell your coworkers. We established the business to help the frontline employee in training, education, services, support, and so now we need your support. PrivateOfficer.org. Sign up today. You can also go to our sister company at Armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, college.org. Sign up for a class. We've got many classes online that will benefit you and many in person. You're listening to the voice of the Frontline Protector. We'll be right back in maybe 2 minutes.
It's a very simple thing. It only takes 2 seconds. We all know we should do it. We all say we do it. But do we? About 35,000 people were killed in motor vehicle accidents last year. More than half were not wearing a seatbelt. A brother, a father, a mother, a best friend. Is it worth it? I lost a sister. Don't let it happen to you and your family. Tell the people you love to buckle up.
Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. Whether you're looking for the top quality protective armor or protective clothing, stab resistant vests or gloves, contact my friend Ben over at Body Armor USA. Give him a call, 516 area code 817-1666. Again, that area code 516-817-1666. Body Armor USA, we've got what it takes to protect you. No doubt about it. We're back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio for this Tuesday morning, the 5th of September, 2023. How this year has flown by. I want to give a big shout out to our security and law enforcement and all frontline protectors in Florida. They're still working with that hurricane that came through, a Category 3, devastating some areas of Florida. We have security officers not only from the state of Florida working that disaster, but some from other states who have come in to work to protect property and lives. And so a big shout out to them. I normally respond to some of these disasters, but I wasn't able to this time due to some personal things happening. But I'm sure the year is young as far as hurricanes go. Hurricane season lasts all the way into the beginning of November. Right now along the Gulf and the Atlantic, it's very, very warm. One of the reasons why this last hurricane developed so quickly and got so large was the water that was over 90 degrees. The temperature in the Gulf right now is about 88 to 89 degrees on some days in the 90s. So that is warmer than your bath water. And so it causes these storms to spin up very quickly and gain a lot of speed, a lot of strength. And right now there are five or six storm developing right now in the Atlantic, and we're watching them because there's a good likelihood, according to the National Hurricane Prediction Center, that at least three of them, one of them will develop in the next 5 days into a storm, and two others look like they also have a good chance of developing. So if you live along the Atlantic or you live along the Gulf Coast, well, just keep your eyes open, your ears open, and pay attention to the weather, because we are not out of the woods yet for this hurricane season. I am very happy. You know, whenever we award someone, it's not because we want any recognition. We want to recognize those people. But I am very happy with several responses that we got in the last 10 days from people that we presented awards to and their employers. Their employers, one in Canada, one in North Carolina. It kind of shocked me because we don't often get a response even after we've made contact or presented an award. But we did, and it was just, I think it came at the at the right time. Today, we're going to be talking about vigilante or citizen rights. Across the country, we've been seeing an awakening of citizens who no longer are going to roll over and play dead with criminals. In Hartford, Connecticut, amid chants, by the way, that's my home state, and Hartford is the capital of Connecticut, amid chants of "Let's Patrol," a group of activists, some openly carrying guns, walked up and down a North End street this past weekend for the first of what they say will be neighborhood patrolling. The patrol followed a rally in the parking lot of Unity Plaza at Charlotte and Barber Streets, one of many areas that have been plagued by deadly gun violence. Seven speakers used a megaphone to talk to people in the area about violence and how police are unable to curb it, control it, or stop it. So this group has formed an armed citizen patrol. When police was asked if this was legal in Connecticut, it's an open carry state. It never used to be, but it is a carry, open carry state now. And what they were doing was well within their rights. Although one man did express his displeasure with the group's display of weapons by cursing and telling them to get the out of here, two women also later objected to the group being in her neighborhood with guns. But overall, Cornell Lewis said the rally went well. Hartford, Connecticut is a mid-sized city, about 140,000 people. Like I said, it's also the state's capital. There are some wealthy areas and there are some very poor areas like most metropolitan cities. Crime has always plagued this small city. Drugs, shootings, robberies, as with most cities across our country. I think you would be hard-pressed to find any city in the U.S. not touched by the violence these days. Several ministers came out and participated. These type of groups have been forming for years, but I don't believe that they've ever been so loud, nor have they been armed to the teeth like some of these are. Is that legal? Is it being a vigilante? Is it within your citizens' rights? Is it being a good citizen? And how does this play into security? Well, owners of a jewelry store just a few days ago in El Monte, California, took to the beating. What happened was they had a robbery at the store. The man smashed out a case, which we see across the country. People come in with hammers, sledgehammers, weapons. They smash out the glass, grab the goods, and they run. Not this time. The owners of the El Monte jewelry store went on the defensive. Meza's Jewelry, located at 10909 Main Street, immediately began to attack the man with weapons. The owner says one of the thieves sprayed bear spray and then began smashing the display case. Well, guess what? The owner and two brothers who were in the store quickly took out their own pepper spray and quickly took some weapons, some sticks and other weapons, and began beating the men. Beating the men, knocking the bear spray out of their hand. They clubbed one man to the point where he fell several times. The other man quickly ran the heck out of there. The would-be thieves are captured on surveillance, and they retreated without any merchandise. Across the country, we've seen this happen in bodegas. On my recent shows, I told you about a situation at a 7-Eleven in California where the man came in with a large garbage pail on wheels, began throwing cartons of cigarettes and other merchandise. Well, that didn't last long because these employees were from another country, and there they knew that they had to defend themselves. They had to stop the robbery because police were few and far between, and they did. They took out brooms and sticks, and they whooped up. They beat the man, and they kicked his butt, literally. And we're seeing this more and more. I told you about a guitar store where a man came in and just nonchalantly walked over to a high-end guitar on the rack and took it and began to leave, but he didn't make it to the door because those store employees grabbed him, threw him to the ground, of course, not damaging the guitar. They were able to get that from the hands of the thief, and they began beating him and holding him in a wrestling knot hold, and, you know, they eventually let him up, but he was pretty worn out, and we're seeing this all across the country. Is this vigilantism? Is this citizen rights? How far can you go, and where does security come in? Well, security officers have also gotten in to the act lately. We're seeing even those who are unarmed attacking groups of shoplifters. Recently, a Macy's security officer was injured, but he was able to get back the merchandise and get a few punches in himself. Are these people vigilantes, or is this our God-given rights? Is this something that's in the Constitution? Well, we do definitely have a right to protect ourselves and our property. And unfortunately, with a lack of law enforcement, and even when there is law enforcement, a lack of the ability to enforce the law because of politics and rewritten laws, we're going to find more and more security people getting actively involved, more and more business owners and employees engaging thieves and others committing crime. I just saw a video while researching some of the material for the show here yesterday where a group of people saw a shoplifting. They had nothing to do with it. They were not employees. They were citizens. They were in the parking lot. They saw a person, two people, who were had committed a shoplifting, as far as they could tell. Someone, whether that be security or store employee, was chasing the people. This group of five got involved, tackled the shoplifters, started punching them, holding them down, telling people to call 911. Were they vigilantes? Or were they good citizens making citizens arrests? I would say the latter, but remember, even as security officers, we can make those detentions. We can use reasonable force to make that apprehension or detention. But I am seeing some of these civilians and even security personnel, as we've talked about for many years, going above and beyond because they just don't have the training. In Charlotte, North Carolina, 2 years ago, a man's business, his alarm went off. He got a text message through his alarm company, and he was able to dial in and see on live video streaming that, yes, there was actually a burglar in his store. Now, he notified the Charlotte Police Department, and they said they were dispatching several officers. But in the meantime, they also told him, do not go down there. Do not approach. Guess what? He did just the opposite. He quickly jumped into his vehicle, sped off down to his business, not too far from his home, and was able to approach the suspect as he was about to leave. A confrontation occurred. The store owner brought his gun. It's legal in North Carolina to open carry, and fatally shot the suspect. Unfortunately, the business owner was arrested, and he was charged. I believe it was manslaughter, and I did not follow up that case. I can't tell you if he was found guilty or not, but this is a situation where maybe he did go a little bit too far. Maybe he did use excessive force. He was told by the 911 dispatcher, don't go, don't approach. Well, I know if it was my business, I certainly would speed on down there because I have a better chance of catching the suspect than the police because they're very busy. They may not arrive before the suspect flees. But I really do have to keep questioning, is this vigilantism? Is this people who are vigilantes? Is this citizen rights? I think that if we're going to do this as a nation, you know, we've always protected our own, our family, our home. We have a legal right to do that. That's definitely well within the Constitution. Maybe we do need to start teaching each other. Maybe they do need to take some training. Unfortunately, many states now no longer require any type of gun education, no qualifications on the range. There's 28 states in the U.S. that are constitutional carry. That means as long as you have the legal right to own a gun, you don't need a permit. You don't have to go through any class. You don't have to qualify. There's no licensing, so you can carry that gun concealed. And unfortunately, people are people. They don't know what to do. They're not professional law enforcement. They're not lawyers. They're not people who are, you know, sportsmen, firearm sportsmen. These are people who have no training in the law when it comes to defense, no training in defending yourself, no training in de-escalation, no training in when you can and can't use a firearm. So unfortunately, yes, we're going to see more citizens, more private security officers, more business owners arrested, but something has to be done. Someone's got to step in. Yes, it is becoming a wild, wild west, but we, the people, have always protected ourselves from the beginning of time. I need to take another quick break. We'll be right back here on the Private Officer Beat Radio.
police are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Do you know your ABCs? How about the ABCs of water safety? A is for active adult supervision. This means someone is always actively watching when a child is in the water. B is for multiple barriers. Your pool or spa should have multiple physical barriers at all times. C is for CPR classes. Even if you're not a parent, it's important to learn CPR. Water safety is everyone's responsibility.
You're listening to The Voice of the Frontline Protector, a production of Blue Ram Media Group, LLC, and Private Officer International, and The Beat. Today, we're talking about, is this really being a vigilante? Is this part of our legal constitutional rights to defend ourselves, our property? And as we all know, there are limits to everything. You can definitely protect your property and yourself, but you must use reasonable force at all times. And many people, civilians especially, they just don't know what is that legal standard or what is the limits. And so at this point, we're seeing many retailers, shop owners, people involved in security even getting on the bandwagon and beginning to fight back, especially when it comes to retail theft. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it, but I hope that we don't go back to the old, you know, Wild Wild West days. Security officers must have stricter training, stricter guidelines, stricter overview. That's my take on it, always has been. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that. For some reason, we don't want to put forth the effort, and we would rather leave our security personnel out there hanging on their own, and then when something bad occurs, then we blame them, and we say, oh, they used bad judgment. They weren't supposed to get involved. They weren't supposed to use force. And I think that's just the wrong road to go down. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to have a lot more about self-defense, de-escalation, responding to violence. And also, we're going to be talking in the upcoming weeks about really safety and how we can prevent some of these injuries, how we can prevent some of these use of force, how we can prevent some of these homicides of security officers. Remember, you can always check out our breaking news at privateofficerbreakingnews.blogspot.com. Listen to all of our radio programs. They are still here and available from day one. And, of course, you can always contact us at helpdesk@privateofficer.com. Be sure to get a couple of those wristbands that honor our fallen officers. And if you're not already a member of Private Officer, please go to our website at privateofficer.org and become a member today. Oh, you will have, I mean, unlike some associations where they just send you a little piece of paper, you know, certificate, you're going to have all sorts of benefits. And we are there for you. In many ways, from training to being able to be a resource for questions, legal issues, legalities. We have chaplains available. We have a lot of different benefits, discounts on car rentals, hotels, and so much more. Also, I just want to remind you that the third week of September is always our Memorial Week. We're going to be holding several services. We'd love to hold dozens of services across the country. If your company, business, church would like to sponsor one, contact helpdesk@privateofficer.com. That's going to do it for today's radio program. We'll be back here midweek with On the Legal Side. Until then, you all be safe, be blessed, and we'll see you back here on the radio.